People of God, we look together in God's Word in Romans chapter 14. Read verses 1 through 18. And our text is verse 8 and 9. And just as a note, as we begin reading this passage, we are going to look at a particular verse, but that verse is in the context. And I think that these verses point out how in Scripture, every topic is ultimately Christ-centered. And every sermon ought to be Christ-centered. And if every sermon can be as Christ-centered as this text makes the topic Christ-centered, every sermon would be a good sermon. But this text is a beautiful example of how Christ and the cross relate to something we might not think has anything to do with that, namely our conscience and those things which may not be right or wrong. How do we morally go about our lifestyle in such circumstance? But the heart of the scripture, the cross, the significance of Christ is what we'll focus on, not actually the context, the general context in which it is found. But Romans chapter 14 clearly sets before us, people of God, the good news of God's saving grace to touch every aspect of our lives. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat, and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if our brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your food be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Our text then, Romans 14, 8 and 9. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Well, those words are words that one ought to, when one hears, might well think of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 1, question and answer 1 and 2, page 8 in the back of our Psalter hymnal. Lord's Day 1, question and answer 1 and 2, where we have this question. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to Him, Christ, by His Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him. What must you know to live and die in the joy of this comfort? Three things. First, how great my sin and misery are. Second, how I am set free from all my sins and misery. And third, how I am to thank God for such deliverance. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. The Heidelberg Catechism is a personal testimony. What is your only comfort? My only comfort is the declaration. Verse 8 of chapter 14 is a declaration that sets before us this question. Can you make that profession? My only comfort in life and in death is that I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. It asks that question. It asks it in the pattern of the Catechism as a really personal profession, a personal declaration. It is of all the doctrinal standards that we find coming out of the Reformation, one, like all the others, rooted and grounded in the Word of God, and yet one that is very pastoral, that is personal. It's set up in this kind of personal profession, and it will emphasize that throughout the confession. And so we have to ask ourselves, not every single person who reads the Heidelberg Catechism, not every person who even memorizes question and answer one, may ultimately be able to say it with the heart and believe it and know it and experience it in mind and life. Because as the Catechism makes the declaration, I am not my own, this text, which focuses on that same theme of not being our own, but being the Lord's, says, for if we live, we live to the Lord. Now, who can say that? Number one, it's if we live, we live to the Lord. But that statement is a statement that is only true of a certain group of people. It is not a universal declaration. I suppose you could read it, taking it out of context. If we live. So that's true of the whole human race. If they live, they live to the Lord. Everybody lives to the Lord, this verse says. No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that at all. The us here is in the context of a book that is written to a particular church in a particular place at a particular time and then has application to the Church of Jesus Christ of all ages. But it is written to those who have professed and know and believe and declare that they believe the gospel. It is written to those who in Romans chapter 1 verse 7 are beloved of God, called to be saints. So this is the we here is, for if we, the beloved of God, the called to be saints ones, live, we live to the Lord. If. It isn't saying, well, if we live and if we die, then all of this is true. Not at all. It's if we are called to be saints, if we are the beloved of the Lord, if we have faith in Jesus Christ, then this verse is true for us. If we do not, it is not true. Then we won't live to the Lord and we won't die to the Lord. We will live to ourselves. We will die to ourselves. We will live and die in misery. We will live and die in the reality that life leads to death, and in a certain sense, life itself is death. Because we all, in this created order, this fallen created order, would experience the misery of death itself. Death is introduced in the passage. Death is an assumption in the passage. And death is that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Death is described in Scripture over and over again as misery, pain, suffering. Hosea chapter 4 would describe the sinfulness of man. And here it's particularly the sinfulness of those who even heard the good news of the gospel in the Old Testament, and then they reject it. But what is true of those who reject, who have heard, is also true of those who reject, who've never heard, because they reject God in every way. So Hosea chapter 4, verses 16 and 17 declares, "For Israel is stubborn like a stubborn calf. Now the Lord will let them forage like a lamb in open country. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Their drink is rebellion. They commit harlotry continually. Her rulers dearly love dishonor." And that's a description of our sin and death. Apart from to the Lord, there is life and death to ourselves described. Or Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. Verse 31 and 32 would describe that sinful lifestyle like this. "O generation, see the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness to Israel or a land of darkness?" And the assumption is, no, the word has gone forth to my people. So why do my people say, "We are lords. We will come no more to you"? We are lords. We are gods. We determine what is right and wrong. We go our own way. A life of sin and death. Verse 32, "Can a virgin forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." That would be living and dying to ourselves, rather than living and dying to the Lord. But we would say our only comfort is that we live to the Lord and we die to the Lord. But we do that because we have come to know the Lord. And one of the commentators that I'm going to be looking at for this time through the Heidelberg Catechism wrote this: "They come." That is, who are those who say, "My only comfort"? It is those who have come as poor, naked, blind, and helpless creatures to the Lord Jesus, surrendering themselves fully to Him to be justified, sanctified, redeemed, and brought to God by Him alone. They do so with body and soul for time and eternity. We give ourselves to God because He is the one who has come, and He has gotten us. He has redeemed us. And so we live to the Lord and we die to the Lord. So we're talking about, just as the Heidelberg Catechism talks about, what is your only comfort in life and in death? The text says it is to live to the Lord. It is to die to the Lord. This is the testimony of the believer. It is a testimony that includes both the life and it includes death. It is a recognition that we need the truth of the gospel and the reality of the gospel to touch us in every facet of our lives and for all of eternity. And death in Scripture never means non-existence. It is a state in which we exist, and when the body dies and the soul continues on. And so there is, when it talks about in life and death to the Lord, death to the Lord is that state of death, in a state of death. And so the Catechism says both in life and in death. In life, in every situation of life, times of joy, times of sorrow, times of trial, times of difficulty, richer or poorer, sickness and in health, in every situation of our lives, we find our comfort from the Lord. In all the different relationships of our lives, whether it's at work or at home, in the family, whether it's in our relationship to our nation or the world, in education or marriage, there's nowhere where the centrality of the reality of the fact that our only comfort is from the Lord. And that reality is impressed upon us. I live to the Lord. I live because of the Lord. I live to the glory of the Lord, to the praise of the Lord, because I am the Lord's. And this is true in death as well. It's true as we experience the process of death, that physical deterioration of the body, the weakness of the flesh, even as we might even distinguish between weakness and the actual dying. At the moment of death, it is true for us. At that moment when I stop breathing, my body ceases to live. When my brain waves stop functioning, at that moment of death, I die to the Lord. And when we think of that death, we know what is happening. There is a separation of the body and soul, and the body dies. But the soul continues on. And in that continuing on state, I die to the Lord. I experience death to the Lord. And so what happens in that state? In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 and 28, we are told what happened. And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. And so we see, but it is appointed for men to die. I die once. But then, immediately after death, there is judgment. And in that judgment, my only comfort is that I am not my own, but belong to Jesus Christ. That is the comfort I would have standing before the judgment seat of God. I die to the Lord. I experience death in relationship to Christ. It is the opposite of what death would be originally for me, because when I die to the Lord and I stand before the judgment seat, the blood of Christ has washed my sin away and I'm clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And then I go into the eternal home. I have a life after death, even though it's described as an element of death itself, because I have died. My body is in the grave, but my soul is in heaven. And in that death state of my soul being in heaven, I am the Lord's. In death, I exist to the glory of the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 6 through 8, we read, "So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yet we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." When I die to the Lord, and I die going to the Lord. And when I die, I'm present with the Lord. And so my comfort is that both in life and in death, I am the Lord's. And when we think of life and death to be the Lord's, then we ought to also think, even past that state, after I die, my soul goes to heaven, my body goes into the grave, and my body is still the Lord's in the grave. It's still the Lord's. But what will happen? In that, I will also be raised to the Lord. And then death will be totally erased, and I will be alive again. And so, in Isaiah chapter 66, maybe a little while till we get there in a series of sermons, but in Isaiah 66, verse 22, there is the declaration, "For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me forever, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain." Those who say, my only comfort in life and in death, and in death I know that I am the Lord's. When He takes me, even before the judgment seat, immediately following death, and my death on this earth, and He saves and He protects and I am His. And then when He returns and the body is raised for all of eternity, I am the Lord's. I die to the Lord. And I will be raised to the Lord. My only comfort in life and in death. But where does that, what's the foundation of that comfort? What is the foundation? It is that I am the Lord's. I am the Lord's. You can't live to the Lord and die to the Lord unless you are the Lord's. In our text, it states it about as simple as you can get it. It says, there's a word for word declaration in our text. And it is, therefore, whether we live or whether we die, of the Lord we are. We are of the Lord. We are the Lord's. We are possessed by the Lord. We are His possession. I am not owned by myself. And that is a glorious truth. That is a glorious truth. We saw in the book of Hosea, you know, a declaration in Jeremiah, this thought, I am my own Lord. What a horrible state to be in. I'm not owned by myself. I have not declared myself to be a God. I am not owned by myself. I am not owned by the world. The world doesn't own me. The world may think they have a claim on me. There are various organizations or groups that say, you are mine. And I can say, no, I'm not yours. Yeah, we may belong to a number of different organizations. We may belong here or belong there. We may belong to a family. We have this thought of it is good to belong. But people of God, we don't belong to the world. And that's a great blessing. When it says, I belong to Christ, that means I do not belong to Satan. The Heidelberg Catechism will emphasize that. He has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He has set me free that in any way the devil no longer has any claim over me. There's no way that the devil can say, you are mine. Because I am the Lord's. And the devil has no claim. In the realm of the power of the devil, I was dead in transgression and sin. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, according to the devil. You once walked. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. He made us alive with Christ. I am owned by Christ, and the devil has no claim on me. And so we're not owned by ourselves. We're not owned by the world. We're not owned by Satan. We're owned by the Lord. We are the Lord. Of the Lord, we are. This is glorious good news. This is the foundation of our comfort. I am the possession of Christ. This is language of ownership, language of belonging, language that's reflected of slavery in the Old Testament, in the New Testament era. I am not mine, but I belong. I am owned. I am enslaved to another. It is the language of belonging to a family. It is the language of belonging to a church. But first of all, we belong to Christ. I am not my own. In fact, this is the only reason I live to the Lord and die to the Lord, is because I am the Lord's. And in that reality, I live and die to Him, to His honor, to His glory. But people of God, this is only because of the Lord. It's because who I belong to. Who do you belong to? It's not just anyone. I belong to the Lord. I belong to Jesus. And our scripture gives us the heart of what Christ has done and is doing for us. And to this end, it for this purpose that Christ came, it was for this purpose that I would not be my own, that I could live to Him and die to Him, and I was His. It's for that purpose that He came, that I would now be the one who would be called the people of God, because I'm Christ's possession. But the possession brings us back to Jesus. And the reason why I am not my own is because of Christ, because He has given Himself for me, that He shed His blood for me. And so in our text, it says, and to this end, Christ died. Christ died so that we might be His. And of course, we're familiar with those precious verses that talk about this, like 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 20, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, and live to Christ and die to Christ. But we do that because He died for us and He purchased us with His precious blood, redeeming us and saving us. And the text, did you see the interesting switch in the text? If we live, if we die, or whether we live or die, we do it to the Lord. Live and die. But when it comes to Christ, it's die and live. Christ died and lives. We live and die and then live again in the resurrected state. But that's already true of Jesus. Jesus lived, He died, He rose so that we might belong to Him. That we might belong to Him in resurrection reality. And He lives. And because He lives, we belong to Him. You can't belong to someone that doesn't exist or something that doesn't exist. You can't belong. But Christ exists and He reigns. He's at the right hand of God. He lives. And because He lives, we belong to Him. And He lives. When we die, He's still living. Right now, He's living. When He returns, He's living. And because He lives, we belong to Him. Because He has accomplished and because of what He currently is, His resurrection is rooted and grounded in the fact that we have life in Him. Again, the word of the Lord would declare that in Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Romans 6, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with Him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should we now walk in the newness of life. we are the Lord's, the Lord who is living again. And because He lives, He is able to save us to the uttermost in life and in death and in every situation and from every foe. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 declares it this way. Therefore, He is also to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession. Because He makes intercession for us, we belong to Him. And because we belong to Him, He is the one that pours out His Spirit upon us. In our text, it comes ultimately to the Holy Spirit in verse 16 and 17. Because we belong to Him, we have the Spirit of God. And in these verses it says that, therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It is righteousness, it is peace, it is joy, it is new life in the Spirit, so that the Spirit makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him, to live to Him. And it is the Spirit-empowered life of the believer. Because I belong to Him, I can have the Spirit of Him. People of God, because we are the Lord's, the Holy Spirit is given to us. And now we live in the kingdom, in righteousness, in joy, and in peace. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood and set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things work together for my salvation because I belong to Him. Christ, by His Spirit, makes me, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him, because I belong to Him. Do you belong to Him? Is this your profession? Live to Him. Die to Him. Amen. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank You for the truth of Your Word. We thank You, Father, for the confession of Your church. We thank You for the testimony of this catechism question and answer. O Lord, may it be our testimony. And may, Father, we know the joy, the peace, the comfort, the new life that is ours because we belong to Christ. For we pray this in His name. Amen.